Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Mitchell Trubisky will be back under center Sunday night, just in time for a primetime matchup with one of the league's best. We'll dive deep. Bears, Rams, all the storylines within coming up. Blackhawks actually took a lead in the third period. That's progress last night, but Vegas took advantage of some miscues and handed the Hawks their sixth straight defeat. We'll discuss where Jeremy Colliton and company go from here. Plus, the Jim Boylan era makes its first stop at the United Center tonight. Bulls host the Red Hot Thunder. We're taking you up to the pregame show right here on Sports Talk Live. And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a great day. You're ready for a great weekend. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show. From the Sun-Times, we have Matty Kenny from CBS Chicago. We've got Matt Zahn and our old pal with The Athletic, our guy Ben Finfer. All right, let's get rocking and rolling, talk some football. The Bears have a massive game this weekend. Their biggest test, and Mitchell Trubisky completely off the injury report. He'll start in the marquee matchup against the Rams. So, Ben, what do you expect out of Trubisky? Do you think there'll be some rust, or he'll roll right back in like he was doing?
I'm sure there will be some rust. I think it'd be crazy not to expect some, especially against a defense that has weapons like the Rams do. But what I expect is that he'll sort of pick up some of what he was doing before. One thing you hope to see a lot of is scrambling, which they haven't been able to have with Chase Daniel behind center. So I think with him back, you can avoid some of the rush you're going to see from the Rams. But, yeah, there's going to be some rust there, of course, for a guy who's missed 3 weeks or 2 weeks like he has.
Do you think Mitch Trubisky is going to have any kind of timidness with running with the ball?
Or
do
I
you
don't.
Think he's going to be
confident? Yeah, I doubt
enough?
It.
Really?
No, Mitch Trubisky, the way his personality is, I don't see him as a guy who goes in there timid at all. He's the kind of guy that goes all out no matter what.
It's also the thing he's most confident about is his running ability.
Yep. And we talk about the rust. You know, maybe that's where Matt Nagy's scripted plays give him a little more confidence at the beginning, and maybe that helps shake off some of that rust.
That's true.
I fully expect him to play pedal to the metal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt Nagy might say, let's be careful here. But
yeah.
I don't think that's in Mitch's DNA. He doesn't strike me as that kind of
guy. It's not really in Nagy's DNA, though, either.
It's not.
He knows what Trubisky is right now more than we do. He's seen him this week in these practices, so maybe he'll be a little bit more careful, but I think he likes to take chances, and we know Trubisky does.
And I think you're going to keep Trubisky on the outside as much as you can because of those guys on the inside of the Rams defense.
You've got some massive beef in the middle of that Rams line. Some great matchups all over the field. Which matchup is everyone looking forward to watching the most? I'm really excited to watch the Bears front seven against Todd Gurley.
Yeah, you think so? I'm more about the defensive matchup with how the Bears going to be able to handle Aaron Donald. I think James Daniel has shown a lot of progress this season, and I know that he's kind of one of those guys that self-corrects, so it'll be interesting to see how he's able to match up with
him. He's coming off a tough game.
Yeah, he is. I mean, the Bears defense, they're all coming off of a tough game, so it's going to be interesting to see. They weren't really able to stop Barkley, so.
Yeah, I think if you're a Bears fan, that's the matchup you should be most scared about. The Bears interior of their offensive line, maybe the weak spot on the entire team, going up against Aaron Donald. They also have, don't forget about Ndamukong Suh in there, too. It's going to be a tough challenge, and I think Nagy is going to have to get creative to find a way to slow those guys down.
Yeah, those are interesting. I actually am eager to see the Bears going up against the Rams' front seven or going up against their offensive line, not just to stop Gurley, but to see if they can do better in the pass rush, where they weren't great last week against the Giants. I mean, I'd like to see Khalil Mack in the backfield a lot more than he was against Eli Manning. So I think that's a key matchup. I'm worried about not only Aaron Donald, as anybody should be, but Todd Gurley is dangerous too, of course, and the Bears have not looked good against some of these running backs like last week against
Barkley. Lewis Riddick had a great point and said that if the Bears have to bring a safety into the box to stop the run, that's going to make it really tough on the back end to handle some of the speed that the Rams have in the passing game.
That's what they've been taking advantage of all season long.
Correct.
That's what
so
Sean McVay is an expert
If you can
at.
Stop the run with your front seven, you're good.
Right. Well, all these things are hard to do against the Rams. That's why their offense is one of the best in the NFL.
Right. But you go to eight men in the box, you got big troubles. All right. Maybe the most intriguing matchup is on the sidelines. Bears went down the same route as the Rams, hiring a young offensive mind in Matt Nagy. Now these two coaches, Sean McVay and Nagy, part of the new guard in the league, and they square off. It should be a lot of fun because Sean McVay is considered one of the bright young coaches in all the sports.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be really exciting given the fact that no matter what the results are, the Rams are one season ahead of where the Bears are. So the Rams were in this situation where the Bears are this season, last season. And so just to be able to see them compete and see how Matt Nagy's play calling kind of matches up, I think that's going to be really exciting for fans.
Yeah, I think then that puts McVay maybe a little above Nagy just right now because he has a year ahead of that. And you hear Nagy talk about all the time how he's still learning to call plays as well. But I think both of these guys, two of the best young offensive minds in the game, and it's just exciting to have these guys around.
I don't think Nagy's quite at McVay's level yet. Like, McVay's been to the playoffs. He's shown how much they can improve from year one to year two. We've seen Nagy run into some issues as a head coach. He's been good overall, and the offense is obviously better, but it's still 20th ranked in the NFL. The Rams have become a juggernaut offensively, and the Bears have a long way to go still, and especially in the development of their quarterback.
The Bears are fifth on points.
Yeah. I mean, the defense has helped in that department.
No question about it.
But Sean McVay clearly has a better memory.
Oh, my God. I thought that was the most overblown, most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. He could name the 11 players he's going up against.
I think
for $5 million a year, he better be able to do that.
I think I saw a tweet about somebody that was like, go to Portillo's and ask any 10-year-old boy, and he'll be able to do the same thing.
Exactly.
I really don't think it was that big of a deal.
It was not that big a deal. Now, they did do something when they quizzed him on, I think, Golic and Wingo a couple of years or maybe a year ago, and they said, hey, 2015, you're with, I think he said, Washington at the time. You're playing New Orleans. It's 3rd and 8 at the 9. What did you do? Oh, yeah, we ran a jet sweep out of this formation with that blocking, and we got a touchdown out of it. Yeah, it was like.
Did anybody check his work, though? I mean, like, he could have just made it up.
It's a good point.
They could easily say something like that.
Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Which team is better positioned for an extended run atop the NFC, the Bears or the Rams? Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. How would you vote on that?
98% for the Bears. That's a little strong right now. You know, I think it goes back to the Rams sort of being a year ahead. They've proven it a little more than the Bears. I think they're both pretty well positioned and are kind of similarly built at this point. And they both have that young quarterback on a, you know, decent contract, so that certainly helps set you up. I think it's pretty similar. I'd give the Rams a slight edge.
I think it's all about the quarterback. It's which quarterback you feel best about. And right now, how do you not feel better about Goff? And part of that is he is a year ahead of where Trubisky is. So maybe by this time next year, things have changed. But I think at this point, because of Goff, the Rams are better positioned long term.
I agree, and it looks like the pool is starting to even out a little bit.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, but I think just given
Let's switch to the Bears now and see if we can get them to go the other way.
See if, like, we have any pull in this.
Yeah.
I think given the fact that the Rams, like we've all been saying, that they're a year ahead, their defense is, while the Bears might have a better defense right now looking at stats, I think that with Aaron Donald and the balance that they have, his quickness, and his ability to get to the quarterback, I just think that their defense wins championships, obviously, so I think that they're going to make a deeper run.
Time for our James & Sons Fine Jewelers Diamonds in the Rough. Here are the highest-paid defensive players in the entire league. Top two take the field on Sunday night. They sign less than a day apart in September. You had to choose one to build a team around of any of those guys there, or we can keep it down to Mac or Donald. Tony Dungy was asked that question by ESPN the other day. He said, I love them all. He threw Von Miller in there as well. He said, I would take Khalil Mack because I would rather have an edge rusher than an interior guy.
Yeah, I think that's the sort of conventional wisdom. I mean, look, if you could give me Aaron Donald 16 and a half sacks every year, okay, I'll take that guy. But I think you get more consistency out of a pass rushing edge rusher like Khalil Mack. And there's more you can do with him. You can move him from side to side like Fangio has this year. So I'd probably give the edge to Mack, but I'd be totally fine with Aaron Donald.
Well, and saying you give it to Mack just shows you how good Mack is, because Aaron Donald right now is having a historically good season for any defensive lineman, let alone an interior defensive lineman. 16 and a half sacks is unbelievable. Incredible. These are the two best defensive players in my mind.
And I think Donald, he's just so quick off of his stance that he can hit his opponent before they're even ready to make contact with him. And he draws, two, three men, which helps get one-on-one coverage with the other guys. And so that opens up the opportunity for them to have a stronger defense.
All right, time for a timeout on Sports Talk Live. Plenty more coming up on the show. We'll check in on the Blackhawks, who suffered another really tough loss last night in Sin City. And Jim Boylan gets his troops ready for his first home game as Bulls head man. We'll preview tonight's game against the Thunder when we return.
For monster coverage of the Monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
It is a big Sunday night matchup at Soldier Field. We've got it covered before and after the big game. It all starts at 6:15 with the warm-up on Facebook Live. 6:30, Lawrence Holmes, Alex Brown, Lance Briggs, Matt Forte preview the big game on Football Night in Chicago live from Public House. And then as soon as the game is over, flip over to NBC Sports Chicago or go to the My Teams app and watch the guys break down the game on Football After Show. That's all Sunday night here on NBC Sports Chicago. All right, another bad loss for the Blackhawks last night. After taking a 3-2 lead early in the third, the Golden Knights scored twice in 12 seconds to take the lead for good. It's just a broken record with this team right now, struggling in a big way. You covered them in training camp.
It did.
Joel Quenneville has got to be sitting at his home in Hinsdale going, thank God they got rid of me.
I think they did him a favor because he didn't have the pieces to make this team successful. And the fact that he was at least like close to 500 when he got fired or got canned, like that was impressive. They don't have any defense. And I mean, I was excited to see that, you know, Murphy's supposed to be coming back, I think on Sunday is what they're expecting.
He's not very good.
He's not the greatest, but he's a new face, adds a little bit more energy. I'm not saying that he's going to change the game, but now they're even talking. I saw a report that he might be gone, too. They're looking at trades. They don't have any defense. Their offensive weapons are not producing. DeBrincat's kind of had a slow start to the season, and Crawford just isn't the same Crawford.
No, it seems like every time I turn them on, they're already down 2-0.
Yeah.
They start every game down. They don't have the
fire. Play the over in the first period.
It's sad, and they don't have the firepower to come back from those deficits. And last night, they actually did for once. They had a lead for the first time in like weeks, it seemed like, and it was gone in seconds. So they're just bad in all areas, and there's still, what, 50 games left to go, something like that this year?
Do you realize that I think if the Kings...
Watch them on NBC Sports Chicago?
Yes. if the Kings and the Blues, my bosses love that, Kings and the Blues win tonight and tomorrow, the Blackhawks will be dead last.
Well, yeah, I mean,
single worst team in hockey.
They weren't great under Coach Quinville, and they're just...
They're 6-6 and 3 under Joel, and I think they're 3-10-2.
How many losses in a row?
Jeremy Cullen.
Or six,
Jeremy
I think.
Yeah.
Or
six
maybe
straight.
That's the Bulls. One has
Why
seven,
don't we
one
go
has
to
six.
Our stat of the day, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. Last night was Jeremy Cullen's 15th game as head coach. Same amount of games Coach Q coached this season before being fired in November. Here are some numbers from each 15-game segment. Under Cullen, Hawks are scoring half a goal less per game, allowing about the same. Power play, which was bad before, is now abysmal. Under 10%, worst in hockey. And after going 6-6-3 with Joel, Hawks are 3-10-2 under Colleton. Not good.
You know what? Colleton's got to pull at Jim Boylan. Get those guys conditioned.
Yeah. Again.
Yeah, that's the problem here. It's unfair to blame Colleton for
the
this.
The name on the front is more important than the name
United
on the back.
United States of America.
Get that through your head.
It's unfair to blame Colleton for any of this, just like it was unfair to blame Quenneville. The roster is not very good.
Which tells you that their general manager should not keep his job.
That is true. Yeah. I agree with that statement.
Can we save all this talk for talking Bulls, too? Repeat,
yeah.
Rinse and repeat.
That's true.
Well, there you go. Blackhawks give up 2 goals in 12 seconds. See you later. Thanks for coming. All right, let's move to the Bulls. They host Russell Westbrook and the Thunder tonight at the United Center. You get the game here. Oklahoma City 16-3 in their last 19 games. Another tough test for a young Bulls club who has been worked hard since making the coaching change on Monday morning. What is your take on the training camp part?
The suicide drills in practice? I mean, it can't possibly work in the NBA. These guys, no NBA players are going to put up with this long-term. Maybe if you're spinning it positive, maybe he's just trying to get something out of them in the short term, but it can't possibly be a long-term solution to anything.
I feel like this is high school basketball. Like, you're punishing them for what? It's not their fault that they're a rebuilding team.
Bad grades.
And they're not that great. And, I mean, maybe their conditioning needs improvement. I didn't think that was the problem. I think it's just there is a lot of youth on the team, not a lot of experience, and that they're developing their talent. And I think...
Or lack thereof.
With, like, some of the players. But, Yeah, I don't think that's the right way to go about it. And maybe he's trying to get more respect from the team. Maybe he wants to, if he wants to raise their spirits, like they were saying, I don't think running them into the ground is the way to do
it. Yeah, see, I have no problem that they're making guys run a little bit that make millions of dollars.
Yes. But they are running. They're playing NBA basketball games, and conditioning
has... They gave Jabari Parker a delay of game for not getting off the bench quickly enough.
Jabari is a problem, but that's not going to be fixed by conditioning drills. The problem with this team has nothing to do with conditioning. It's that they're a bad basketball team. And they are young, and there is some talent there, but they've had injuries to boot. So to go out there and suggest that running them to death is going to make any difference is crazy. And it's not just that he's doing this. It's that he's making sure everybody knows he's doing it, which is clearly to appeal to John Paxson. Hey, look, I'm a good coach. I'm for real. He's not. It's a joke. It's stupid. It's not going to make a difference. No coach in the NBA has had success doing this since Pat Riley, probably. It's not how you do things in modern NBA.
Although maybe I could argue Jabari Parker could use some conditioning drills.
Sure, I guess, but I don't
lay off the stands. Right. Donuts might be another thing.
That might help him.
On the heels of Fred Hoiberg being fired by the Bulls, our national NBA insider for NBC Sports, again nationally, Tom Haberstroh, reporting this afternoon, Fred Hoiberg could be a leading candidate to replace Tom Thibodeau if Minnesota fires Tibbs. Wow. History has a habit of repeating.
Well, he worked there, so I don't
know. He was in their front office.
Right.
So just a GM.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's funny how that, like, how you just follow Tibbs wherever he's going. But did he not have a great relationship with Jimmy Butler? He had problems trying to coach
Jimmy Butler doesn't really have a great relationship with anybody.
He's in Philly now.
No, you are.
Yeah,
he's gone.
He's gone, but you are right. Like, Butler hated him, because I'm sure he'll end up in Philly at some point, too. You know, Thibodeau will go to Philly, and then Hoiberg will follow him there, too.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, time for one last time out here on Sports Talk Live. We'll talk a little Hot Stove Baseball before we get out of here, but we have sad news before we go. Former Cubs infielder Luis Valbuena was killed last night in a car accident in his native country of Venezuela. Valbuena played on the north side from 2012 to 14, eventually traded for Dexter Fowler. He was one of the nicest guys I dealt with covering the Cubs. All of us here at NBC Sports send our condolences to his family. Luis Valbuena was just 33 years old. Theo Epstein says he is downplaying the Cubs' approach toward big-name free agents this offseason. We'll see what happens next week in Vegas. Bullpen help has to be at the top of their shopping list after Brandon Morrow news yesterday that he will probably not be ready when the season begins. So, Ben, what would you spend your money on? You know, there's this narrative that the Cubs have no money, that they're in this dire financial position. Their payroll is already going to be well north of $200 million. What would you spend your allotted dollars left on?
I don't even know what their allotted dollars are. It's silly because we know they have the money. They're choosing not to spend it, or Ricketts is choosing not to spend it. But if you are limited, then I think you go towards the bullpen. I don't think you're going to be able to get a substantial bat with whatever they have. But the scary thing is, like, they couldn't even pay Jesse Chavez. You got $8 million.
Well, they could. They just chose not to guarantee 2 years of it.
All right, but that's a guy, if you had money at all, you would have just brought, you would have brought him back and, you know, also spent on somebody else. But you have to get another late-inning reliever. You can't count on Brandon Morrow at all. Maybe he'll be back in May. Maybe he'll be back in June. Maybe he'll be fine. But I think you have to assume that there's going to be injury problems with him again and cover yourself with a substantial relief pitching signing.
All right, let's listen to Theo Epstein yesterday. I'd like you guys all to react to it. Here is Theo on the Brandon Morrow news.
I understand, you know, the desire for a big name every winter, and there will be winners when we do acquire big names, and there will be winners that we don't acquire a big name. I don't know what category this winner will fall into yet, but there's a chance that it's going to be a winner where we don't acquire a big name from outside the organization. That does not represent failure. You know, we should be judged on the product on the field, and we should be judged on how many games we win, and we should be judged on whether we make the playoffs, and we should be judged on how we perform in October.
Is that a surprise to you? He announced the Morrow news that he won't be ready, and that says there'll be winters where we don't get a big name outside the organization.
Yeah, and I think judging how they played on the field, maybe you need like a big guy to come in and kind of spark up some interest in the, at least in the offense. But I also think that there is a lot of talent with who the Cubs have. And a lot of those guys had a lot of down seasons and some had injuries, like Chris Bryant was 100% for most of the season. So I think if you come back and I'm not saying Chris Bryant's going to be 2016 Chris Bryant, but even if he's like 2017 Chris Bryant, I think there's a really good way that he could, you know, be the go-to guy for the Cubs.
It was a 95-win team, got nothing out of Darvish, one win, not much out of Chatwood, except a lot of walks, not much out of Morrow, and Chris Bryant, not much. Still won 95 games.
Well, I think two things with this offseason. I think most Cubs fans were kind of expecting them to be a huge player, expecting them to be the favorite for, if not Bryce Harper, then a guy like Manny Machado. And if that's not happening, maybe that was never the plan all along. And I kind of take offense to the fact that they don't, you know, that they're out of money. You know, they just spent a ton last year. Maybe you just can't expect them to spend huge amounts of dollars every offseason, which is the fact for most Major League Baseball teams.
Do you expect Bryce Harper to have a realistic shot to sign with the White Sox?
No. I guess it is possible because the Sox are interested and they have the money. But I think they'd have to way outbid other teams, and I don't think the Phillies are going to be way outbid just based on what we're hearing they're willing to spend, and they've kind of already missed out on a couple of other guys, so they need to get a Harper Machado, and that means they're going to be willing to go pretty high, and they're also closer to contention than the White Sox are, so I think it's going to be tough.
See, I think Bryce Harper, they need a brand name at the White Sox.
Well, they do.
Yeah,
they definitely
do need a
yeah.
brand name for
they
sure.
need a Bryant, a Rizzo, somebody that everyone identifies with.
Yeah, but I also think that their rebuild is all now like a season behind because of Kopech's injury. So that kind of changes the stance. Maybe they were going to spend big this offseason, but now they're thinking, well, we're not going to have Kopech at all next season. So maybe we wait until 2019.
Also, isn't he going to get about $300 million more than they've ever given anyone?
Biggest contract they've ever given, $68 million to Jose Abreu.
Jose Abreu, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I mean, you also have to like, going to the second team in Chicago.
But don't forget, it doesn't sound like the Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs,
or Dodgers.
National.
Well, Dodgers may be
Dodgers
in.
Dodgers might be.
Phillies may be in. So, look, the Sox are in. My guess is they're going to finish second or third in the running. It's going to sound good, but I just don't see Bryce Harper picking the White Sox.
All right. Everybody have a great weekend. That's a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. We will see you on Monday. Bulls pregame live with Mark and the guys coming up next.